Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he."
Amen. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Where'd he go? There he is. I thank Dennis for that song, and I tell you, Dennis has got this church Christian part down way more than I do. I'm coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm telling you it's a little warm in here. Dennis is keeping that jacket on, and I've ditched mine. So I'm impressed, Dennis. I really am. But not impressed enough to follow. How's that? I'm going to do several things with you today. We'll take you on a little travelogue. That's Billy up there, from in the deep south, the southeast. Yeah, you wouldn't call somebody William, you'd call him Billy. So that's Billy there. We'll talk about him a little later and a few others. I'll work you on a little bit of a travelogue once we get through some other things that we're going to cover first and go along from there. Will you pray with me as we open God's Word? Heavenly Father, I pray now as we open your Word together that your Spirit will be with us, that you will bless us. That is my prayer, that you will make me the nail upon the wall to hold your picture firmly in place. And let no one see this nail, Lord. Let us see Jesus' shining face. For this our prayer in the most powerful name under heaven, the name of Jesus. Amen. It was, about 15 years ago now. Jenny and I and our two tiny little kids had moved from Minnesota to North Carolina. And in the house where we believed God got us to live, it was kind of up a one-lane trail and up into the woods. And we enjoyed it there. We enjoyed living there. We had been there for a little bit. And Jenny started looking around while we were digging. It had kind of been, it hadn't been taken care of real well for several years. And so we were digging and scratching, and I got in the poison ivy patch and all that kind of stuff. And one day, Jenny says to me, I think there should be a view right about over there. I said, okay. Kept digging and scratching, and the next time we were out digging and scratching, Jenny said, I think there should be a view right about there. Any of you ever do camp? Are you familiar with the old camp song, There's a Hole in the Bucket? You familiar with that old song? Well, this was coming like There's a Hole in the Bucket. There should be a view over there. And finally I said, okay. And she said, there should be a view there. And I said, let's see if there is first. She says, I think there is, but I'm not sure. I said, I can know how to find out. She said, how? So I got a ladder out, put it up on the house. Now, the house was kind of a half A-frame, so I thought, if she's going to get me into this, we're going to really do this and do this right. Now, understand, I was 15 years younger. I probably wouldn't do this today. But I got the ladder up, put it up there, and then we went up. I said, you're coming with me. We're going to see. But we're going to see if there's a view there. We've got to get up a little bit so that we can see down and see. And so we went up on the A-frame at the top of the house, got her up there too. She went with me, protested a little bit, but we got up there. And you know what? She was right. The valley just opened up. You could see the valley in through and the mountains over on the other side. And so when we're sitting up there, she says, there could be a view here. Once we got down, over the next couple of months, do any of you know, in Minnesota, there's corn and there's soybeans. and you get corn 1 year and soybeans the next, and they rotate it back and forth, you'll see every once in a while in the corn in the soybean field, you'll see something weird. One stalk of corn up, okay? Now, nobody, no good farmer is going to go walking across through there and pick that corn. That's not corn, that's a weed. In Minnesota, the definition of weed is anything growing where it's not supposed to. So you know what Jenny was saying when she said, you know, there could be a view there. It was, get rid of these weeds. Oy. There's a principle here. And the principle is, if you can't see through the area, you've got two choices. Either get a little higher or move some clutter. Okay? By the way, most churches are notorious for putting little signs on the back row that says, reserved for families with small children. Did you know statistically that's the worst place to put small children? And I can prove it to you, okay? I had a faculty, one of my professors did this to us. Let's go sit in church, okay? He says, now I want all of you on the back row, and then I want a bunch of the tallest people on the row right in front of them. And then he said, all right, now those of you on the back row, I want you to get on your knees. In other words, get down on your knees. Now how well can you see? Okay? The principle is either get yourself a better vantage point for the young people or move the weeds. Probably be better to help with the vantage point than to try and move the weeds, you know? But remember that. Those of you that are sitting in front of a little child, you're a weed. Okay? Remember that. But let's come back to, if you can't see, go a little higher and you'll get a better perspective. Would you take your Bible? Turn with me. The book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And just start reading along with me in 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the pilgrims of the diaspora in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Now all that, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, that's a region. That's a bunch of area. That's where think states. That's a bunch of states put together. So Peter says, I'm talking to the people who believe in Jesus Christ. We have a word for those. What do we call them? So I'm talking to the Christians who are in the diaspora, that means scattered, okay? So what he's saying is, for us it would be the equivalent of, I'm talking to the Christians who are feeling scattered, where there's just a few here, a few there, a few of the other, all across New England. That would be the equivalent of what he's saying, okay? I'm talking to those of you Christians that are feeling like you've been scattered all over the place. First century, when persecution came in, the people had to run. They got pushed from Jerusalem, and they ended up just kind of all over the place and trying to stay out of sight of everybody else. So it's hard to be together and to feel like you're in a group and to feel like feel like it means anything. And so he's talking to those Christians that are feeling scattered, displaced, frustrated. Okay, can we put it that way? That's who he's talking to. He says, those of you that are elect according to the foreknowledge of God in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, simply put, those of you that are feeling scattered, but remember your salvation is in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has saved you, God is leading you. He's talking to people that are Christians. He's talking to people that are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but are feeling a little bit scattered, like, let's see if I can put it this way. Have you ever felt like the world is winning? Can I use that expression? Have you ever felt like the world is winning? You know, I'm in my world, I'm trying to represent Jesus, but it feels like the world is winning. That's what he's talking about. Have you ever felt like you're in a position where the world is winning and what am I doing here? Why am I trying to hold on? What is going on? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt small? That's what he's saying. Christians, people that are feeling small, then Jesus Christ, he's supposed to be winning. It's supposed to be great. I've become a Christian. All these wonderful things are supposed to happen to me. What happened? Okay? That's who he's talking to. Have you ever felt that way? That's who he's talking to. He's talking to you in that context. He says, "Blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Those of you that are elect, those of you that are accepted salvation in Jesus Christ, you've been promised something better. You've been promised an amazing inheritance. But you don't feel like you have it yet. Verse 5, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." It feels like the long side is winning, okay? "That the preciousness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you glory with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You know who you are. You know who Jesus is. You know he's coming back. But you know that by faith rather than by sight, because when I look around, it looks like the wrong side is winning. That's what he's talking about. Okay? "Of this salvation," notice verse 10, here's where I wanted to get to. "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to" who? What's it say? "The prophets of old were talking about your day," he says, to the people who were living just after the time period of Jesus. They were searching the scriptures all over the place, talking about this. By the way, when it says they were searching the scriptures, what were they searching? They were searching what you and I would call the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New Testament yet. Okay? Does that make sense? They were searching the prophets of old that were living before the time of Jesus. They didn't have a New Testament. They were searching the scriptures that were pointing forward to this Jesus who was going to come, who was going to be, who was going to do. They were prophesying of your day that would get to see this. Notice what Peter is saying. He's saying, guys, you're feeling lost, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling like the wrong side is winning, you're feeling like you're harassed, and it's just, what in the world am I doing this for? And he says, the prophets of old would have given anything to have lived in your day. The prophets of old would have given anything. Can I take you back to Daniel chapter 12? Daniel chapter 12, Daniel the prophet, who has had quite a run in his own world, all sorts of things going on in his world. He's been feeling really down and really, really frustrated, and then he ends up being prime minister, and then the country gets taken over, and then he ends up being prime minister again, and he gets these visions that are telling him about things in the future, and he'd like to know what they mean, and you get to chapter 12, and Daniel is saying, come on, God, what's it mean? What's it mean? And God says, don't worry, Daniel. You go, you just sleep for a while. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I'll wake you up when it's all done. Isn't that what he said? Would Daniel have liked to have been alive in the day of Peter? That's what he was praying for. He couldn't imagine that the world was going to go that long. He was sure these prophecies, these time periods, he wanted to be alive and well and in them and be a part of representing what Jesus was like and seeing these things that were going to happen. He says, man, those guys, those prophets of old, would have given anything to be seeing in your day. Can I ask you a question? When you're feeling like, what are we doing here? When you're feeling like, how come it's taking so long? When it feels like, why hasn't Jesus come yet? Question. If Daniel would have given anything to be living in Peter's day, Don't you think Peter would have given anything to be living in your day? Those guys wanted to be alive and well and part of representing Jesus at the very end and seeing how it was going to come together. They'd have given anything to be in our day. And could I suggest to you, we get the privilege of standing on the shoulders of giants. Look at Daniel, look at Peter, look at, you get to stand on their shoulders and see out over the parameters of all that is going on. You get to look at your Bible and see the things that are going to happen and say, maybe it'll happen in my lifetime. Man, those giants that have gone before would have given anything to be living in our day. Remember that when you're going, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was supposed to be. And have you ever whined? Huh? Remember that when you're thinking about whining. Those that have gone before, the giants you get to stand on their shoulders and watch and see with, they'd have given anything to be living in your day and to have a shot at being a part of seeing the things that they talked about prophetically as yet going to happen. To have the chance to see that personally, they'd have given anything for it. Verse 10 of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. They were talking about what was going to come to you. They searched, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of God who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering things which now have been reported to you through all that has been preached of the gospel. Man, those guys would have given anything to be a part of what you've got. You stand on the shoulders of giants. Now, can I suggest something else too? Can I suggest something? Can I dare say this? Anybody here have siblings about the same age? Somewhat similar, a little bit older, a little bit younger. How does it feel to be the one walking when the other one gets to sit or stand up on dad's shoulders? You know what I mean? It's like, man, what's going on here? Because the one sitting up on dad's shoulders is the one who gets to see out there, and the rest of them, we're down here. Right? Say, wait a minute here. Hold it a minute. And I don't know about the rest of you, my brother always used to say that. See, I'm several years younger than my brother. My brother was constantly saying, man, why is it the shrimp gets to get all the advantages? You know? I tell farm stories all the time. My brother's 10 years older than I am. He says, Jim, you don't have the right to tell farm stories. You didn't have to be up at 4:30 in the morning to do the milking. And no, I didn't have to do that part. I got to ride along, equivalent of riding along on dad's shoulders and get the cute little stories. I didn't have to get up and do the milking. We get to ride the equivalent on the shoulders of giants. Those that have gone before, we have learned from and watched from. We have the Bible to tell us the things that are developing and going along the way. Can I give you another one? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter. Anybody here a sports fan? Anybody here a sports fan? Doesn't really matter what sports you're involved in. Your sport has a Hall of Fame someplace, you know? The Basketball Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, whatever. The Hall of Fame is the place where those that were the best at it, they're kind of remembered or enshrined in this Hall of Fame of the great, how well they played this game. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. Let me tell you about this one and about that one, and they did it by faith, and faith is it. But watch something else when we're looking at the reason this was written about what's called the Faith Hall of Fame, chapter 11. Finish up with chapter 10. Back up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and onward. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 39, but we are not of those that draw back to perdition, but of those who have believed to the saving of our souls. In other words, the author of the book of Hebrews is saying, don't quit now. Don't get discouraged. Don't back up. You're standing on the shoulders of giants. Look at what you can see off there into the valley. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, this one. By faith, that one. But notice the ending. Chapter 11, verse 32. And what more can I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel and the prophets. What you have here is a walking through the Old Testament, starting with the beginning of the book of Genesis and walking through, talking about different people all through the time period of the Old Testament scriptures. Who through faith, verse 33, subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. It goes on and on about the things of them, but watch this, verse 39 and 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, have not received the promise yet. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. What's it saying? They would have given anything to have lived in your time. They haven't gotten their reward yet. They're waiting because you're going to get it at the same time they do. They would have given anything to live in your time. Can I be a little bit Adventist-y? Can I take you on a little travelogue? Billy, William Miller. William Miller was just a preacher. In the 1820s and 30s is when his time really came. So a long time ago. His farm is in upstate New York, actually. Upstate New York, it's just 2 hours away from here. Have any of you been there? Many of you been there? Many of you have. The rest of you should. I keep telling Brian, I think we ought to get a busload and go and do something there. Because this place is basically the birthplace of Seventh-day Adventism. Well, the other one we'll show you in Washington, New Hampshire, is really officially the birthplace. But this thing, William Miller was just a farmer. That's his home. That's his house there. William Miller was the guy that was frustrated with his scripture, and let's find out if the scripture really is the word of God or if it isn't. Let's start at the beginning, read through it, and everything that it says has to make sense or I'm going to throw it out. And praying and came through. We've got a little, that's the farm there. There's a little grove there that is the spot where what really got Miller excited was he got frustrated with the preacher that was standing up and couldn't preach very well. Yeah. And he basically was saying, I could do better than that, and mumbling about it. And he made the mistake of saying that to the right person, and before long, the preacher had asked him to. Anyway, the long and the short of it is he was sure he could get away from all this stuff, and because if God ever asks me, then I'll do it, and it was that. Right. While he was praying that there was a knock on his door, and somebody said, the preacher would like to hear your the stuff you've been studying from the Scriptures. Miller goes off into the grove and had a little argument with God, like, what in the world are you, how could this happen? Anyway, I think we've got the grove there, do we? No, we don't have that one, all right. That's just looking the other way from where it is, and I would again say, this is the beginnings. Do we have the pasture there, the Ascension Rock? Did I put that one in it? Go ahead to that. Yeah, Ascension Rock, basically a rock in the field. By the way, when it came to the day that he believed Jesus was coming, was in his living room waiting for Jesus to come. He wasn't out here on this rock. I doubt if there was anybody more than one or two out there. Understand, a farmer isn't going to go sit in the middle of a pasture for anything. Little chapel off on the side of his own where it was built. Chapel is owned by the Advent Christian Church, which was a group that started out of the Millerite movement, the Seventh-day Adventist group, the same. Neat little chapel there that was built just to commemorate and to remember Do we believe in the second coming of Jesus? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. I'll take you to the next one. Washington, New Hampshire. This is actually the birthplace of everything. Any of you, how many of you have been to that one? Again, I would encourage, that's about an hour away from here is where this is. This is the spot I think we've got next, Rachel Oaks. How would you like to have a picture like that taken of yourself? Since my childhood, I've thought, ooh, what a picture. Remember with she and William Miller both the time periods, the pictures, there were long exposures, and so you had to be very, very, stay very, very still for a long period of time. You will find almost no pictures from that time period of somebody smiling. That's because of the way they took pictures. It's not because they never smiled, okay? This lady was a Seventh-day Baptist. She's the one that was saying when the preacher was waxing eloquent about you ought to follow Jesus all the way, we ought to be keeping the commandments, she met him at the back door and said, why are you not doing that? Which led to a study of the Sabbath, which led to what is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. By the way, they ignored her at first. It was several years before they got around to listening to her. But one lady saying, if you're preaching this, why aren't you doing it? A whole denomination started from that, the beginning of the Sabbath. In this, one guy, William Farnsworth, standing up and saying, me and my family will follow the, we'll keep the Sabbath as Christians, because somebody was saying, why don't we do what we said? Why don't we follow the commandments of God? Beginning of this Adventist church. I forgot the little town. There's a little town around here. Annie and Uriah Smith. I was there too last week. And Jenny's even got the gravestone of the Smith. Uriah's not there. He's over in Battle Creek, Michigan, is where he buried. But Annie and her parents are buried here. I forget which little town it is over here. That's in Weston? Weston, okay. And you can find, yeah, Annie Smith is buried there. You can see her. Annie Smith was somebody that was one of the beginnings of the, in the editing of the review, the Advent Review and World Herald. Annie, Vish, you've got in front of you is your church hymnal. There's three hymns in there by Annie Smith. She was a poet. You can find them, 439, I think, 441, and I think 450 or something like that. Three. Annie Smith got tuberculosis. She died at 26, believing Jesus was going to come. Being ready for Jesus to come. You ought to look them up. Look up her hymns. The things she's talking about, they're all about the second coming of Jesus. Uriah, her brother, became the editor of the Review and Herald, died in 1903, is buried in Berrien Springs, Michigan, gave his whole life to following Jesus, and encouraging people to be following Jesus. Who's the next one you got? I think we got... Yeah, Leonard Hastings. I want to tell you about Leonard Hastings later. You probably never heard of Leonard Hastings. You got the other picture there of the field? I'll come back to this a little bit later. But Leonard Hastings, you've probably never heard of him, but if you're an Adventist, you've heard of his story. The time period of believing that the Lord was coming in the 1800s and the date that it was, that winter, Leonard Hastings did not pick his potatoes. He left them in the field because he believed the Lord was coming. Okay? You've probably heard his story because his potatoes were left there in the field. I want to come back to, I'm going to wander off to some other things, but I want that left up there because I'm going to come back to him at the end, okay? To Leonard Hastings and his potatoes. Because there was something I did not know about Leonard Hastings and his potatoes that has me going, wow. Anyway, we went prowling around. That's in New Ipswich, just down the road. Leonard Hastings' grave is there. In the town square, and if you get off on a back road, a gravel road, you can find the area that was the potato patch where Leonard Hastings' potatoes stayed in the... But the point is, people that were willing to follow Jesus and to trust him regardless. People who were into a vision of, if there is no vision of the Lord, the people perish. If there is no vision of the Lord, the people perish. Do we have a vision of the Lord, of what does the Lord have for us while we wait for the second coming of Jesus? What does the Lord have for us while we wait for the second coming of Jesus? I would ask you, what's the vision? Why is there a church on Airport Road of people waiting for the second coming of Jesus? And could I say again, when I look at this property, I say, somebody had vision. 8 acres on Airport Road, somebody had vision. Huh? That too. Here, 8 acres on a main road, somebody had vision. Building this building, somebody had some vision, and I will bet it took some sacrifice. I'll bet it took some commitment. How do you think they do you think they'd say? Do they think they'd say we should have a vision too? What's the plan? What's the purpose? Can I invite you to something? 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today. Church service. Picnic outside. If the weather's bad, we'll do the picnic inside. But then we're just going to do a plan and dream and vision session of just talking ideas. And I'm going to encourage everybody to come and be a part of that as we talk. What's the vision? What's the plan? What are we thinking about? What would we like to see it do? What would we like to see accomplished here in the name of God in this community? What is it? We'll give everybody, and there will be a way where everybody's input is involved. Okay? If you're old enough to write your name, you're old enough for your input to count. How's that? Okay? If you're old enough to write your name, you're old enough for your input to count. We'd like to have you have it come, and your input will be put into the conversation. Okay? I promise you. I encourage you to be a part of that. I would also say a building that's been around for 50 years could probably use some updates. Would you agree with that? There's something in the foyer where we're talking about, and the next item on the list is the bathrooms. We've got some cool things on that, and don't be surprised if you will be called to a business meeting to vote on that, okay? So you be watching and be listening, because, and then we ought to be talking, and what next? You think the sanctuary is up to the level that it should be? You know, what are the things that come next? Could I even make an odd suggestion? Would July be a decent time to talk about? Could people worship better in God's church if there was a little air conditioning? Would July be a good time to mention that? Can I take you back to Leonard Hastings' Potato Patch? Leonard Hastings' Potato Patch. It's Adventist history. It's the issue of believing that the Lord was going to come and then having to restate some things. Leonard Hastings believed the Lord was going to come, and he didn't pick his potatoes in the fall of 1843. Talk about getting laughed at when the Lord didn't come at the right time. Talk about getting laughed at. Leonard Hastings' potatoes stayed in the ground all winter that year. By the way, anybody here Irish? Anybody here have some Irish in them? Some of you. Anybody heard of the Irish potato famine? Ireland just about starved because of a potato famine. And that had much, much to do with immigration to this country from Ireland. Did you know that potato famine wasn't just in Ireland? I couldn't believe it when I saw this. It actually was a blight for the stems, okay? So things rotted. And when they rot that year, you don't have anything to plant the next year, and that's what led to it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. It actually started, they say, the paperwork says it actually started in Mexico. Wandered through the United States of America up into New England before, I don't know if it caught a freighter or what, but ending up in Ireland. Okay? What does that have to do with Leonard Hastings? The blight hit New England about that year. Leonard Hastings' potatoes were in the ground instead of in the cellar. They didn't get the blight. When Leonard Hastings picked his potatoes the next spring, not only were they good, but they were life-saving for his neighbors who didn't have anything to put in the ground. Call it a coincidence. I say our God is good. Now, could I suggest you notice something? Leonard Hastings believed something that even proved to be incorrect. Can we say it like that? Leonard Hastings believed something that proved to be incorrect. Would it be fair to say God blessed his belief and his trust? And could I say, vision God will bless? I guess I'm saying God encourages us to step out on faith and to believe. And that God will bless vision, even if in 2020 hindsight it could have been a little better. But could I say this, folks? We stand on the shoulders of giants. I would say giants from Bible times, giants from the 1800s, and could I say giants here locally from the 1950s and 60s? We stand on the shoulders of giants who did the best they could with what they had and have tried to pass it on to the next generation. And could I suggest that Daniel would have given anything to live in our day? Could I suggest that Peter would have given anything to live in our day? Why? Because he'd rather be alive working for the Lord than not. Can we say it that way? I don't know about you, but I enjoy being able to look back and say, Leonard Hastings, hey, that was pretty good. I like that kind of faith. Can I say, I enjoy looking back to the 1960s and saying, hey guys, you did a pretty good job with this. Okay? Now, can we turn the sundial a little bit and say, if the Lord has not come in another 50 years, if, I'm not saying he won't, if the Lord has not come in another 50 years, will the people two generations down from us look back at us and will they say, man, they did a pretty good job? Or will they say, what were those guys thinking? You get what I mean? Will the generation coming after us look back and find us faithful? Does that make sense? Where there is no vision, the people sit on their thumbs and wonder what happened. Is that fair to say? What's the vision? Why did the people 50 years ago say, there needs to be a church right here on Airport Drive? What did they want to see happening 50 years from their day if the Lord had not come? What is it? How should we be building on the foundation that they lived? Which is also the foundation of William Miller and Leonard Hastings, which is also the foundation of Peter, which is also the foundation of Daniel. Does that make sense? What are they going to say about our day? What is the vision that God has for the people of this little church to be sharing with the second largest city in all of New England? What is it? Or is it just to sit there and sing Kumbaya and say, we're waiting for Jesus to come? What is it? What's God have? Can we be involved with prayerfully saying, Lord Jesus, what do you have for us to do? What do you have for us to be? How do you want us to step out on faith like Leonard Hastings did? Or like Peter did? Or like Daniel did? What is it? What's the message? And could I suggest prayerfully together with some sacrifice, God can give us a vision. What do you say? Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that you find us faithful. When we look at the message of who Jesus is and the salvation that he has given to us, how can we be faithful in the community that you have given us? It is our prayer that as we prayerfully talk together, pray together, that vision will come, vision from you, so that we can say, we have a vision from the Lord, because we don't want to be involved with perishing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for the old story. And it is our prayer that as we accept Jesus and we accept the old story, that we accept the joy of sharing him with others. It is our prayer that you take us from this place of gathering together and take us to share that story this week. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite everybody. I have Paul standing back here in the back here with Jenny and I want you to make sure you give him a special Worcester welcome. Will you do that?